Ben's got his problems. I've got mine. Don't bug me.
Stay away from me.
So much for Bob's attempt to connect with the black community. But I think they would listen now. All right?
Maybe.
So
Bob.
Milton Blais, Clifton Joseph, come on. Give Bob a hand. Bob Rules Inevitable, join up.
Yeah, Clifton's called here before, I know. He hasn't called for some time. We have about 25 minutes left. The calls have faded off, as they usually do this time of night, and the drunkards come home, so we can expect a flurry of phone calls.
Well, does Connie want to talk about anything? Because I do have an amazing Exus transcription on side two. You just have to flip over on Tesla. I know that Ray Ray and many listeners have called me off air about Tesla. What does Bob have to say about Tesla? So I think Tesla and the Philadelphia experiment in 1942 is an amazing topic. And if we can stand hearing the Exus talk for another 5 minutes, I don't know. Mike is not often keen in that. Let's have that in abeyance if someone doesn't call Mike. But Connie, do you have anything to say? Why don't you ask Connie some personal questions that callers are intimidated to ask, Mike? What do you want to know?
Yeah, am I...
No, he's over there. He's Mike.
Is this show being too serious, Mike?
No, not in the least. No, not in the least. And I just think people are enjoying listening to your voice and the rarity of having you down here tonight. But no, you're right. People are not... I don't think they're hitting the nerve. You know, they're not...
Sparked.
Yeah, they're not sparked by Connie. I don't know why. Maybe just intimidated by Connie's presence.
Maybe Connie is not skilled at this kind of life.
No, I think she is.
Okay.
We have no calls, and I have no personal questions, so why don't we play...
Maybe Kent has some personal questions.
No, he doesn't.
Come on,
ask me.
He doesn't have any personal questions.
Okay, now, Kent, are you interested in Tesla?
Who?
Tesla.
You know, I can't hear you.
Oh.
Isn't it coming through there?
No, of course not.
Okay, so anyways, he did say who, though. Tesla... versus...
That's Bart Tesla, the University of Toronto film professor.
Semiotician.
Yeah.
Bart Simpson?
No. Bart Tesla, I deal with him in an interview I did with John Curry. If anybody wants to get the next Bob interview, don't call me, call John Curry.
In other words, if we listened to Tesla back when he was inventing anti-gravity, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today.
Now, see, that's a silly statement from
Connie.
It
is not.
Because that's a technological device, anti-gravity. The point is that technological devices have no say in a software environment. The fact we're addicted to the electronic discarnate state means that we don't have our interest in any future hardware technologies like anti-gravitational devices. We want to become conservatives and hike up our
I'd
past
say anti-gravity was pretty software. I mean, if you're not here and you're not there.
It is inevitable because it's acoustic technology. But I'm telling you about, even if it was hiked up, there were so many other software addictions that need to be worked through, like Mick Jagger, the Beatles, and Frank Zappa, and you and I eventually. These things have to be worked out before people are ready for booties. Shake it up. Shake your booties.
Should we acknowledge our Halloween guests?
Oh, yeah, what was that? That was an incredible...
That was the electric environment.
Yeah, this is... I don't know these people, but that's a very clever mask. Do I know her?
Yes.
Who is she? I don't recognize her.
Bob Barcella, I interviewed you until midnight on Monday. Such a wonderful disguise.
Well, listen,
you wouldn't even know it's me.
Oh, so it's Hallie Mae. Well, listen, Hallie, you don't understand. I mean, do you realize how appropriate your mask is?
I mean,
you're in sync with me because she's got a TV screen.
I'm here. Do you think I'm here?
Yeah, you have a TV screen as a mask, and for the first time in 3.5 years on the air, I've linked media archetype to mask as a vortex of energy, and that our modern masks are television, radio, movie, and such, and you have a TV set on as a mask. I'm just blown away.
I wouldn't be here unless I was applicable.
Yeah, that's right.
You know it.
Yeah, and excellent editing you did tonight on the word-of-mouth extravaganza.
Why, thank you. 1.5 hours down to 8.5 minutes. That's a science. That's
you
a science.
And it feels good, you know?
Oh. Format.
Is that someone in the background? Format.
You
want
to go to the tape?
Yeah, what was that voice? That on tape or was it someone else?
There was. No.
Oh, yeah. Jane. Yeah, it was Jane. Does she have a mask on?
No.
Yeah, she has a mask on. She's hiking up
Jane
the old body. Yeah.
Tarzan got left behind.
And you know, Jane, her name is Jane Moore, and the Exus in the future reading will be giving. They define... Shut up, Jane. Let me give you this compliment. The definition of God, according to the Exus, is and more. The definition of God is and more, and Jane Moore is there. Is that her or a tape?
Don't worry. Just roll with it, Bob.
Jane is everywhere.
Yeah, and more, Jane
Every
Moore.
Woman.
God is Jane Moore's brother, right? And more and Jane Moore. And Sarah Moore, who took a shot at Gerald Ford. Any relation to you, Jane? Sarah Jane Moore, 1975, September 22nd.
Now I'd like to switch to, do you know what the Philadelphia experiment was in 1944?
Yes, we have this.
Has any previous people asked?
Has asked about that in 1978 in October.
All right, and really dematerialized?
We told the truth. The ship changed frequency. Not that it dematerialized, it changed frequency.
Right, and they did it with some equipment they had.
Yes.
All right. We saw, when we were at Walter Bowers, who we talked about in the previous reading in Arizona, a friend brought a videotape, and it was about a man who claimed that he was on the boat and then went through, when the dematerializing happened, he went through space for time and ended up maybe three, he and his brother, then they had to be brought back. It's a very complicated story. He said that Tesla was involved in the experimental inventing of the gadgetry to do it.
Yes.
Up to 42. Is that true?
He was. At that time, Tesla, somewhat discredited, was working for the Waltham Watch Company, Clock Company, Waltham Clock Company.
Yeah. That's right, but he was brought in by the Pentagon, or it wasn't even the Pentagon, then by the military to work on this.
Yes, because he said they had a ray that would be able to destroy at a distance, and also his other experiments on frequency was that he wanted to use frequency and frequency shift as camouflage, the ultimate camouflage, that it would, that any structure would reflect light differently if it vibrated at a different frequency. Obviously, it was correct. Vibrate something at a different frequency, and it does become indiscernible. The Philadelphia experiment was a form of learning what could be a new system of camouflage. Realize that as far as the Navy was concerned, not all of it, but a significant percentage of the Navy, saw it, that all of its ships were sitting ducks. Many of them, of the officers, were saying that the fleet should leave Pearl Harbor, leave that area, you see, because it was a sitting duck from carrier-based aircraft. A scenario had been written in 1939 about that. You see?
Yes.
So therefore, let us take a very large structure, such as an aircraft carrier, that would be needed to attack the islands of Japan, but itself would be extremely visible by any reconnaissance aircraft. If its camouflage could be improved, it could get closer. If it could get closer, its planes could fly over the target longer. You see?
Yes.
So therefore, the Philadelphia experiment was an experiment in camouflage, alter the vibration of it. What was not expected is that there are many components associated with vibration. Many. One of them is time, and one of them is distance.
So that man, do I need to tell you?
Not necessary.
You know, no. What was I going to say? What was not necessary?
To go through what that man went through.
Was it accurate?
It's been somewhat embellished, but basically it's accurate.
He did go into 1983?
That's somewhat of an exaggeration.
Yeah, he wasn't even high on the... he claims that he didn't know this till 1988, and then his memory was awakened, that he was mind-controlled, that, you know, his mind had been erased, that he was on the boat. That's all made up.
That is the embellishment.
Right. So he's not... he didn't have the experience.
No, he did not have the experience. But the...
He's referring to something that did happen, though.
Oh, yes, he's referring to something that did happen.
Because he says the man who invented the computer phone... Okay, Tesla quit. Did Tesla quit for conscience reasons? In 42?
So there was nothing else to do. The... the Navy called a halt to it immediately.
After it happened?
Yes.
After the first testing, before the people were on the second test?
The second test was not supposed to be done. There was argument about that. But by that time, Tesla was out of it.
Right. And then was it von Neumann who came in?
He was called in because no one could figure out, not even Tesla could figure out what had happened. Not even Tesla had the basic theory, but even the basic theory was very hard to understand. And when Tesla dropped out, the mathematics was involving, essentially involves quantum mechanics. Von Neumann fit in, but even he didn't understand it.
So Tesla didn't drop out of conscience. He just said, well, I don't know what we're doing, and we shouldn't do it again.
Exactly.
That kind of attitude. And Neumann, did Neumann trigger off the next one accidentally, or to summon?
No, everything was in place, and the second test was a duplicate of the first.
But it wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, it was argued about and argued about and argued
but
about.
They did it.
But they did it.
Because this man on the tape talks about the date August 12th as an important point. Is that a further embellishment? That it was a conjunction of an Earth peak point, he calls it.
It's a description. It's not apt. This description of the whole situation is that when something alters its vibratory state at a certain level, many other factors are brought into play, including knowledge that when the universe was originally created, many lines collapsed. That theory is only being understood in these years.
Yeah.
It was not even considered in the 1940s. Not even considered. Also at the same time, always remember this. At that time, working on atomics, and they did not know what they were doing. And oftentimes, was said that what if this is an opportunity for the molecular structure to explode?
Yeah.
But some of that knowledge still exists. It goes through myth, it goes through embellishment, all of this. But the fact is, it did happen. And the fact is, the knowledge is still there. But it's being worked upon even in this day. Not as strongly as then.
But when we make contact with the Buddhist people, they will help us on that level.
So if asked.
If asked.
But to change the vibratory rate of something is not exceptionally hard.
So von Neumann, did he, according to the embellisher, he supposedly died in 57, but he didn't really live. He lived on. That's more embellishment.
That's more embellishment.
So most of that tape is on the level of Milton Cooper's.
Yes, yeah. Very, very much so.
Right. But
who put it in this man's mind to do all, say all these
things? Basically himself.
Because he's part of that network and he wanted to get attention on that level?
He wanted to get on that attention on that level. Also at the same time, realized that it was not spectacular. But it was completely disorienting.
Well, didn't people get stuck in machinery?
They got caught in machinery. They got caught in doorways. They got caught in stairs.
And they died.
They died.
And those that survived, they were just told to keep quiet about it?
They were not only told to keep quiet about it, each one of them was separated from each other. And they were sent into all different places and tracked across the years so they would not meet. Mm-hmm. Would not.
So that, and they probably just were confused human beings, right?
Well, deeply, deeply, deeply confused.
Yeah. So,
elapsed time, please.
15, 8 minutes.
What did you ask? He asked how much time was left?
Does he just have elapsed time?
Oh, how much time do we have left?
Approximately 3 minutes.
All right. Were there UFOs appeared during the experiment, like something to report?
No.
No, okay.
So as the phase shift one and phase shift two, during that phase shifts, because it's not done in one sequence, it's done in two sequences. So between that phase shift, you'll find that there are certain anomalies created that would give appearance of flying objects, but not flying objects, we assure you.
Right, they were manifesting something.
Manifesting something, yes.
Yeah, as an effect. Was part of the American oligarchs' move into the Middle East partly to deal with the SNL crisis and the bankruptcy in the United States?
No.
No?
No. The SNL in itself is fascinating because nobody's going to lose, but somebody's going to gain.
Okay, well, if there's not much time, maybe that's another topic, but with George...
Oh, man, what I had to do to keep... Listen, people, that was a fascinating reading. I know you appreciate it, but I had to fight off six people. We broke two lamps. They can't handle being non-discarnate for more than 3 minutes. Mike was resisted, fought with, and Connie defected four times to Mike's side and back to my side. It was awesome trying to keep Mike from stopping the excess knowledge going out to you, my listeners, my
friends,
radio my one. Co-makers.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left.
You have a magazine? You have a phone?
I have a magazine, I have a press kit, and
hey,
I have
listen,
a phone.
How about Kent letting us go over, right? I mean, he's causing so much hassle here. Maybe we'll just, let's take some calls.
Nice.
But, yeah, Mike's going to go home and go to work.
I've got an early morning tomorrow. Oh, uh-huh. Okay, let's talk for a few minutes while we set up our microphone. Bob, I wanted to mention this to you.
Yeah, okay.
Our friend, Tim Howe, who was here 2 weeks ago from the art... colony, north of Toronto, is doing a performance at the Music Gallery Thursday, November 15th. It's called A Decaffeinated America. Maybe I'll just read to you.
The 22 Reasons.
Yes. Are we in Canada just a culturally lukewarm version of the USA, as the international news agencies would have the global community believe? Well, Tim's press releases are starting to sound a lot like you now, aren't they?
Yep.
Tonight's performance, in two parts, will explore this assumption using electroacoustic sound and video. Okay, so that's November 15th.
Yeah, and it says Decaffeinated America, 22 Reasons.
No, it doesn't.
Mine does say...
The poster. Did you get a poster?
Yeah, the poster says,
yeah, the poster 22, says 22 Reasons.
He definitely got the 22 from you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's take a call.
Yeah, well, there's somebody on the phone. There is one call. Is there a call, Kent?
No, you've talked for too long.
Okay, there's a call.
Yeah, there's a call.
Okay, there's a call. We'll go to it. I hope I'm not just going to cut in on the personal line.
And we put out a very important tape on Tesla. I imagine there's a listener response to it. If not, that's all right. But just give them the opportunity. Am I off the air?
No.
Oh, okay, well, where's the caller?
Well, let's go to it,
yeah.
Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, Sean. Oh, Sean is always a great way to climb.
Hi, Sean. I've been waiting to say hi to you, buddy.
Who is this?
It's Connie, Sean.
Oh, hi, Connie.
Sean, where have you been?
Who is that?
Did you just get home, Sean?
Yeah, I just got home.
Oh, you don't know this historical moment that Connie showed up.
Connie actually showed up to the station?
Yeah.
Sean. I was going to come down tonight.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
No blowjobs tonight, Sean. Stay home.
Oh, maybe next week. Anyhow, so how's it going, Bo?
Is that all you got to say?
Yeah.
Go right into it, Sean.
No, actually, I've got a question for you.
Great. You got one for Connie there. She's taking them, too.
Okay, well, I missed the show, so I don't know what Connie's answering today. Actually, Connie can do me a favor.
Yeah?
Can Connie perform a tetrad on the AIDS cure? Because we couldn't manage it last time.
I'll think about it while you're asking Bob his question.
Okay, I'll do that then. Okay, Bob. I read in the papers I think it was last week, maybe, that all the old Tsarist Russians came out in public and started reorganizing. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, as I said earlier in the show, and the second coming level of the chart, all past come out of the future. So, I mean, these are future modalities that hope to impose their myth on the present, right? And
mm-hmm.
So the future is going to be made up of all these archetypes from the past, and that's just one historical archetype within the Russian culture. I mean, that's why the anti-Semitism has come back, the Nazi groups in Eastern Europe. All these modalities of the past are part of our future now. We have to contend with these mixed corporate media.
These guys have nothing to do with the White Tsars?
No.
Okay, so they're just basically as a picture.
You mean the white Skopsy Russians that Gorby represents?
Yeah.
No, they have nothing. Matter of fact, the white Skopsy Russians that Gorby represents, they were enemies of the Tsarist regime, and they cooperated with the Bolsheviks in 1905 to 1917 to kick the Tsarist regime guys out.
So who are the white Tsarists that the CIA always worked with?
That's the group connected to the Tsarist regime, because Rockefeller had much investment in the Baku oil fields.
So is that these guys?
Yeah, these guys are connected to the old Rockefeller.
So are they still making a bid for power, or are they just...
Yeah, every archetype comes back as a mythic retrieval to hoik itself up as media content, because the battle now is in content. What is going to be the content imposed on people? And the point is, you always have to demonstrate yourself for media coverage. The ground is the electric space, the electric present, so these archetypes from the past hope to dominate the software content. And that's the absurdity of our situation. The stage is not on the physical level of your body, of your organic natural body. It's on the stage of the solar theater of the electric environment. That's coverage is existence. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can lock down your bureaucratic archetype by getting political power. So that's why politics merges with software communism, and we come full circle with the theme I started off with. Thanks to you, Sean, even though you didn't hear the beginning of the show. I was explaining.
Yeah, I'm always there, Bob.
Yeah, you're always in there in touch and in tune. But I.
That sounded like that that saying about NBC says I exist, ergo I am.
Yeah. NBC, National Broadcasting Company?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm covered, therefore I am.
Yeah, I'm covered, therefore I am. Yeah, that's what Abby
Hoffman
used to say.
Here's the process. What?
That's what Abby Hoffman used to say. Yeah. An event doesn't exist until it's covered by the media.
Yeah, so that's what the unions, they need to get into the collective skin of the media, right? So they go on strike. But they always end up back giving in and agreeing to certain conditions that look like puny compared to what they were striking for, all right? But their main motive to strike is to get coverage and therefore be recognized. So strikes are for coverage, not for the implementation of some bureaucratic wage settlement. You know what I mean?
So the best way to deal with your unions is to make sure the press doesn't cover them.
Yeah.
And then they don't get anything.
Yeah.
Either way.
And then they'll get really mad and they'll get more violent in the strikes, and then they'll be satisfied when they're given coverage.
Yeah.
And then they go back and lose at the bargaining table and on the puny hardware level.
So in other words, if you're a businessman, the first thing you do is call in the newspapers and get it over with real quick.
That's right. Give them coverage. Good point. Yeah, as a matter of fact, resist, get them mad, or gives the union people hotter coverage, and therefore ends the strike, and they can go back to their puny lifestyles of work and slavery and pink prison and no money and pollution and cancer and AIDS virus. Oh, it's so ugly what happens to all of us.
So how come you call press conferences once in a while through your mediaries like Bob Marshall? Like, you got Bob Marshall to do a press conference for you, right?
Well, Bob Marshall's a symbol. That's right. So, therefore, he would hold a press conference because he had a point of view.
Yeah.
And the press conference is for the masses as well. They're not press conferences for the press.
That's right.
There's a difference.
And Bob Dobbs has never held a press conference.
No? So why is Bob gone out in the print media?
That is not a press conference. That's translating myself into different forms, into different media archetypes, different Halloween masks.
So that we can hear Bob on a different plane.
Yeah, that's right. See and hear Bob on a different plane. But you could say that this 3.5 episode with Mike, this epic dialogue, is one continuous press conference, but it's not geared to a press conference style where you're trying to tell somebody something. My press conferences, if you want to call it, that happens every 2 weeks, is designed to make sense out of what we're experiencing at the speed of thought and the speed of light. In other words, so much will happen in the next 2 weeks, I will have to be here with you and the rest of the church members to carve out a new sensory consensus of what happened over the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so when is Bob Dobbs here going to hold a press conference on... okay, you've already done it in the print media and you've done it...
That's not a press conference. It's just translating myself into another form.
Yeah, okay, but you're translating yourself into the form of, with... intensifying the visual space, right? And then you've also done it through acoustic space. So when are you going to do it through the other senses? Like, when are you going to hit TV?
When you go to the journalism conference at Ryerson on November 10th, where they're bringing in the giants of Canadian journalism, Barbara Frum, Peter Mansbridge, Morley Safer, and these dudes, November 10th, I want a lot of subgeniuses at that seminar hoiked up by the Ryerson Journalism School and the University of Western Ontario School of Graduate Journalism. These functions must be told of Bob's access and presence here. And if you guys make a lot of noise, then Bob will be on Barbara Frum, and that's when Bob Rule will be consolidated in a rather pleasant way.
I see.
Okay, Sean, you ready for that TED Red?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I figured. Bob will probably disagree. AIDS cure retrieves the body.
What does it enhance? You start with
enhances alternative medicine and the Eastern medicine.
What?
Obsolescence.
Bob.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Obsolescence monogamy.
And monogamy? What the hell is that?
And flips into the police state.
What about retrieval?
Oh, it flips serious? Into the police state?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's 2 o'clock. We've got to go.
God, awful tetrad.
Retrieves the body.
Thanks, Sean.
See, it's ridiculous. I'll have to listen to the archive and correct that later. So,
it's true, Sean.
Is that it's the end of the show, right?
It's the end of the show.
Yeah, well, I want to thank the female girls showing up. We're all girls and electric babies under disconnected.
I'm not
conditions.
A girl. I'm a human being.
Yeah, and laser beam. So the thing is that with the theme tonight of female girls, then I'd like to invoke the church hymn dedicated to Connie's sisters and my new sisters that showed their support at fundraising 2 weeks ago. Their names are Lisa, Susan, Heather, Philly, Janet, and others that I may not remember. I know these names. I do not know who they are. I know Heather, but I don't know the rest. They were just people cited on the pledge cards. They were unknown Laura Palmers who showed up during fundraising, the most important time for certain reasons, and they showed that they are the hidden ground of Bob's show. And so I pledge this song to my fellow discarded electric babies and maybe Connie.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Praise Bob.
Yeah, thanks.
A lot of girls I know could never be true. They come and they go, but baby, not you. Girl, I want to stay around, and I want to sing. I'm so glad I found that was my lucky day. Other girls, they run around. They treat love just like a game. But I'm here to tell everybody that you're not the same. I bless the day I find, and I won't say. Every day's my lucky day, so stay, little day, stay, oh, and I love you for that.
This is Jim, Eye Brain Eater. May you eat brains and live.
Yeah, well, we've had just about enough of Daddy Cool for one night. This is Club 22, and I'm Kent, and this, of course, is Sherman Skolnick.
Hi, Sherman Skolnick, Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, 9800 Oglesby. The Saudi Arabian royal family is threatening to cause the impeachment of President George Bush if he doesn't follow their instructions. They want a negotiated peace in the Persian Gulf. Bush wants unconditional surrender of Iraq, otherwise war. through intermediaries, the Saudis contend they were instrumental in getting Reagan and Bush first elected in 1980. The Saudis say they supplied the money, the airplanes, and the arrangements for Reagan and Bush to screw President Jimmy Carter's bid for re-election. In October 80, William Casey, then Reagan presidential campaign director, went to Paris. The Saudis say they supplied the planes, the money, everything, so Casey could check out the security at three Paris hotels for the meetings between Bush and agents of Ayatollah Khomeini and other top Republican leaders and Iranian officials. The Saudis say they also arranged everything for vice presidential candidate Bush to go to Paris. Bush struck a deal with the Iranians. With Saudi help, Bush agreed to give $40 million in cash and $5 billion in...